We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us, midweek Bible study, Vanguard Baptist Church. We hope and pray you join the worship with us tonight in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I thought it would be good for us to look at Try a Little Kindness. Now, even though one of my most favorite professors said, Brother Vance, to try is to fail. And that, because he was one of my better professors, things like that you never forget, and it drives you nuts till you go home to be with the Lord. To try is to fail. You will do, and by the power of Almighty God, it's already done. And you spend a lifetime trying to figure it out, and then about the time you think you caught it, you're already up there with them anyway. So, all right, try a little kindness. Great time of the year when we think about the Christmas period for us as Christians. I don't have trouble with the lost and dying world not involved with Christmas, because Christians are, that's Christmas. I just don't want them trying to keep me from saying Merry Christmas or me from enjoying Christmas. If I want to put a cross out, after all of this stuff that's been going on with the crosses and all, I was telling Debbie today, I thought, you know, with my property out there, I'm thinking about putting a giant cross up on the hills. Giant cross and the American flagpole, right? I can picture what I want, American flag, but the pole up and the American flag waving over top of the cross. Wouldn't that be beautiful? I'm sure nobody would object to that. Yeah. You know, I think, well, that's fine. You don't need to do that. If you don't like the cross, don't put it up. But if I want the cross, I'm going to put it up. If I want my American flag up, you can burn your flag, but you can't burn mine. So I don't.
You may not believe in the birth of Jesus, but I've got it out in my house.
Yep. Yep. So leave me alone. And if you don't want to look at it, just keep your eyes on the road and drive by, right? But if you'll come to church, we'll introduce you to him. You may want to worship with us next year. Okay, Colossians 3:12. Because of God's deep love and concern for you. Now think of it. Paul is telling the church that because of God's deep love and concern for you. God says, I love you so much, I'm concerned about you. Now, for us to be concerned over one another, how many times have you had to talk with your kids or whoever and said, look, I'm not criticizing you, I'm simply concerned about the situation. I'm concerned about the direction in which you're headed. I love you, and I don't want you to head in that direction. Pastors are supposed to be concerned about their flock when they see them headed in the wrong direction. Because we will all get together and we'll start talking at the same time, heading for the cliff, and nobody's paying any attention to what they're getting ready to walk off of. So we say we're concerned. God says, you're only concerned about each other because I placed that in who you are. And I am concerned about you. I care what's going on in your life. If I didn't care, if you don't care for someone, you're not going to care what anybody does. You're not going to care whether they walk off the cliff or not. If you're not concerned, if you have no care for them, then you won't care for them. You got that? We must make certain that we as Christians, we're the family of God. So therefore, because of God's deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Tender-hearted mercy. Now, let's see. The opposite of tender-hearted mercy is hard-hearted hatred or lack of concern. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't care what he does. I don't care what she does. I don't care what they do with their life. I do. I care what people do with their life. It may not be any of my business, but me being in the business of love and promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, actually that makes it my business. And your business and my business, Christian, is to care and to be concerned and is to love. And we're not just to love like I love you. It's a deep love. It's a caring love. It's a love that is concerned, not of criticism, but of concern in the direction you're headed. Any of us who have ever had children, there are those stages that, gosh, it used to be stages. Now they hook into a stage and I think stay there for the next 20 years or whatever. Or, you know, you'd hear somebody's wife, been married for several years, said, yes, I love my husband, but he never grew up. He's still just like he was when he was a kid. Well, sometimes I wished I could get back my innocence of childhood, or when I look at our little kids, Debbie, your kids' ages and children's church and all, they so much want to be loved. They so much want somebody to make over them and to be concerned with them. A lot of times you'll see a child is mischievous. They're mischievous, and then as soon as you show them attention, you'll see the smile come on their face, and that's what they wanted. They didn't know how to get it. Because let me tell you, folks, you all know this as well as I do. There's a lot of parents that do not express their love to their children. Breaks our heart, but that's a fact of life. So what do? We love them so much, we just, you know, they would probably, listen, you all think about your own children. You know, Dad didn't say that he loved me. You know, I'm broken. I
remember my dad saying he loved me, or my mother.
Yeah.
It was just not a thing to express.
To express.
In my day.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, you just took it for granted.
Yeah. You know, my mother, I've never heard I love you from my mother until I started taking care of her, you know. First time that I have ever heard her mention love. I remember when she's in the hospital, Gene, and the doctor was getting ready to take her back and check her with the x-rays and everything, and said, you can go ahead and kiss your kids, sir. And she said, oh, we don't do stuff like that in our family.
That's the way it was.
Yeah. Out of that part of the country also, you were to be seen, not heard. How to show kindness to others. Are we ready? You listen to this, Brother Andy. Number one, be sensitive. I'm sorry. Your pastor is Mr. Sensitivity. I couldn't even say that one. Look, folks, when you've dealt with prisoners all the years that I did, this is a new expression of my love for somebody. Be sensitive. Brother Eddie, you need to be more sensitive with the feelings of your pastor.
Welcome to the ministry,
brother. Welcome to the ministry every day, isn't it? Woo! Be sensitive. Philippians 2:4. Each of you should look not only for your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, there's the line again that we have to really watch, because in looking after the interest of others, others may not be interested in you looking after their interest. Looking after their interest, we need to understand that we got to get permission. And this is something you learn over life. You get permission before you start offering advice. Well, do you want me to tell you what I think? No. I don't want you to tell me what you think, because I don't care what you think. You're not feeling like I'm thinking. And so you learn over the years, welcome to the ministry, that now, do you remember me going to a place to have prayer? And after the lady died, and she was in, they had her in the living room. The coroner hadn't picked her up yet, and they were cooking breakfast when I got there. They hadn't picked her up. And they didn't know I was coming, which I thought they knew I was coming. I thought they had requested me to come, but they had not. But it was someone else who said, they want you over there. Well, I thought they wanted me over there. They did not want me over there. So I said, can I just have prayer with you all, and I will leave. But now that was... it was somewhat embarrassing, I think, for them and for me. I prayed anyway. But, you know, when you're looking after someone else, you've got to make sure you don't step over that line, folks. There is a line from care and concern, and it's a fine line to being too nosy and you mind your own business type. Two things about this point on... the interest of others. Everybody sitting around us, no matter where we are, is having a tough time just in a different area. Or they're having tough times, but the name of that tough times is not the name of your tough times. Let me do it that way. And everyone has problems in everyone. You know, when I listen to people say, you know, I had it rough growing up. Well, I don't remember very many people didn't have it rough growing up in my part of the world. You know, yeah, but we were poor. Well, welcome to, yes, well, that's, okay, you were, well, we had it hard and we had to work. Said, well, some of us still doing it, working. But everybody has something going on, tough times in their life. But good gracious, folks, we've got to grow up sometime and accept responsibility for our actions. And I'm talking about the action of not the negative side of our life, but of our actions and how do we minister to others. You look at someone over here, that is, I got on this side this time. When you look at someone and they're hurting, I don't want to read a book to tell me how to help them. I've got to have that heart contact. I have to have that personal relationship there from the personality to personality. And all you have to do, or maybe this is a gift from God, you look into their eyes. You look at the sadness in their face. You look at, there's a self-drawing in my office from a young lady that used to be a member here. And we prayed for a baby and all, and it was a miracle baby. But she had made that self-sketch of herself. Great little artistic mind. And I look at that, and you've seen it. I know Debbie and all, when you look at it, say, what do you see? You see sadness and brokenness in the self-sketch You see her hurting from within. Yes, oh yes. Debbie, you get that out of my office. I'm sorry. You got a key? I gave you a key to my office? Gosh. I want to bring it down. I want you all to see this. No, no, no. And you'll see it here in a second, and I think you'll see exactly. Man, great gal, accepted Christ later on. She's really a sweetheart. After she accepted Christ, she's on fire, you know. But you still knew that from what's still within her, there's that dark Earl, there's a dark emotion that is there, a dark personality that it was so much a part of her childhood. And there was a lot to that childhood part which you would understand, but I thought, you know, and that's the reason I kept it. Some folk give me things like that, and I look at them and I think, oh, I don't think I want to look at that, but you can see the heartfelt focus there. I give it to Brother Randy. I think he'll know enough to pass it down, but and you'll see what I mean. Okay. And number two, the number one cause that keeps us from being kind is busyness. We don't not want to be kind, folks, but our actions, we are too busy. And meaning, let me do it this way. We are so busy thinking about what we're busy about. It's not that we think that intentionally are ignoring someone. Our busyness just keeps us captivated because of we're just busy. And someone over there takes it as, well, they're not interested. No, our mind is going, what do you think about that picture? Could you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that's...
I think it's like, you know, her face.
Yeah. 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 Yep. Yep. And let's see. Last time I heard from her, it was... going in for an interview at the local police station in that area called as she was wanting to go into the academy. But what she had lost, she had built back, or maybe she never even had it at that age, but what she had now, her great desire, if you all will remember her, was helping people that had went through her type of hurt and pain. Okay. The next thing we did, I said be sensitive on that one. Number one cause being busy. Well, I'm just too busy, but we're not intentionally that way. I don't believe that. Now, I do believe that we do have parents, folks, that will make themselves overly busy so they don't have to deal with the hurt of raising children. Well, somebody's got to make a living. I don't have time to do all of this. You know, I got to be out there making sure that... And then when both parents are saying the same thing, look, we have to be making a living for you. What for? Why are you making a living for me when I don't have any self-esteem? What good is the money going to do if I hurt so bad on the inside because I have the feeling that I'm unloved, uncared for? Listening to other kids talk about what, you know, how great it was to get home and know that mom and dad had this and that, and then that individual, they never went home to see that because nobody was ever there. Sometimes folks are so focused on making the money for the family, when they go home, they've lost the family. There's nothing, no one there. It's too late then.
Well, many times, somebody had said, so nice that Mom was home.
Mm.
When they walked in.
Yeah.
I just chose to do that.
And, you know, I remember, I didn't learn to appreciate this till later in life. Doesn't matter what the reason was when she said no, but there was a lot of times I wish she had said no and she didn't, because I really didn't want to go with these people. I really didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, and I needed an excuse. Peer pressure against the kids is horrible. Okay. Be supportive. Proverbs 15:4. Kind words, Brother Randy, bring life, but cruel words will crush your spirit. Kind words bring life, but cruel words will crush your spirit. One thing I would always tell the parents, don't break their spirit. Scripture after scripture warns parents against that. For once you break their spirit, your child or your friends and all, there has to be that spirit in them that is sometimes it's a wild spirit. But what is it? You got to give them enough leash, but you got to make sure that you're ready to catch them too. You need to watch them as they're making mistakes and then direct them through those mistakes. Why am I talking to this group about teenagers and everything? It's too late for you, Bob. Yeah, yeah. It's over. But this will work for friends and all, right? Do you remember how ruthless kids were at school, right? How much do you support people with your words? There's your questions. Are you an encourager or are you a discourager? Do you lift people up or do you put them down? Do you give them strokes or pokes? Do you nag or do you brag on your children? I remember when I used to do a lot of teaching, I remember the question of the guy what was going through training with him. He was training us. But he said, how many of you all have ever went to the door of your kids when they were playing and told them to calm down and knock it off? And not, how many have you done that? Everybody raised their hand. Now, how many of you, when everything was quiet and they were playing nicely, would go to the door and say, I'm so proud of you all because I love the way that you're not fussing or fighting. I'm so proud of you all. How many of you done that? None of us raised our hand. For one thing, I didn't want to rock the boat. You know, you don't go, I don't want to mess that up. You know, it's crying. But think of that. How many times do you, when a child or when anyone has done something good, you praise them for what they have done? Kids need it. Got to be a reason I'm teaching it this way. Okay. Number three, be sympathetic. Can you sympathize me, Brother Randy?
Every day.
Be sympathetic. The key to your fellow man's heart. That's also a key to your teenager's heart. Be sympathetic. I understand, son, that you had a bad case of the stupids. Your father had a world of those same kind of disease flaws. Bad case of the stupids. So be sympathetic. When anyone has stepped over a line, be sympathetic. Listen, today I may be the Christian that's down. I am told by God's word, I want you to get down there, and I want you to help them out, to warn them, to help them to get on the right path, because they're down today. Tomorrow could very well be your turn to be down. So what would you want? Okay. Romans 12:15. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. That's common courtesy, and it's common Christian walk. You don't walk in, start cracking jokes to somebody that's brokenhearted over anything. You be sympathetic to what they're going through. Oh, I've had so many people in my family die. You'll get over it pretty soon. You know, and for one thing, people who are that way, I'm sure God had mercy on the ones and took them on home so they wouldn't have to put up with them. Strong leaders are not afraid to express emotion. If it's a big deal to them, it should be a big deal to you. Right? Well, you know, there's people over here starving to death, and you think that's a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal to them. So what? I don't care if nobody else in the world has that kind of problem. That individual's got that, and it's a big deal to them, so appreciate it. Number four, be straightforward. Don't be beating the devil around the bush. Straightforward. You got to watch yourself on this. Being straightforward can also eliminate being sympathetic. So be straightforward. Let's do it this way. Sometimes kindness means being candid and frank. That doesn't have a thing to do if your wife says, "Am I too fat?" That, no, don't be candid and don't be frank on that. Let it, honey, you are just perfect. Or with anything, with a child. Mom, Dad, are my ears really too big for me? No, honey, I love you. You're just right. So straightforwarded, you got to remember being candid and frank can sometimes hurt. So do it in a way that doesn't destroy a person. Leveling with people, telling them where they're blowing it when they're making the mistake, but you do it in a way to where the least harm is done. What does that mean? I don't know. It's according to the personality. It's according to the individuals. It's according to the age. It's according to this, according to that. God will give you the wisdom on that, Christian. Sometimes love must be tough. Yes, it does, but it does not have to be hateful. Tough. Tough love sometimes, let me put it this way, tough love sometimes means that you're going to keep your mouth shut. Tough love. Well, no, that's just tough love. I'm going to make them do this. Well, the tough love is when you just keep your mouth shut and love anyway. That's tough love. Yes, but, you know, I'm breaking on the inside. Okay, let me ask you something. You tell me in your Christian walk, what would you see as the most powerful message to whoever it is we're talking about tough love with? Would the powerful message that we're talking about in that tough love, would it gain a greater foothold with that individual in helping them, what you're getting ready to say? Or, well, let me tell you this part first. Many times when people would come to me and would say, you know, I really think that I need to really, you know, just come clean. with my life. Boy, I despise that when they said that in churches. Because that was the day when people got up and gave their testimony. And, well, you know, I want to clear my heart. And they tell about everything everybody else in church had done. Had nothing to do with their heart. But here's what you do. It's what you're getting ready to say. Is it going to glorify God and help your fellow man? Or is it going to do harm? That's the key to how you handle it. Well, no. And one guy said, he said, no. No, gosh, if I told her that, she'll probably divorce me. I said, why are you going to tell her? Why are you going to break her heart? Can you change it? You didn't even know her when you did that dumb stuff. Or can you change anything by doing that for the positive? No. I said, then keep your mouth shut. Love. Proverbs 27, verse 6. This is important. Wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. You got that? Wounds from a friend. Gosh.
How many friends would wound you?
Well, the wounds that he's talking about, are the wounds of correction. I'd much rather be heartbroken from a friend that's tried to nail me or straighten me out than I would from the kiss from an enemy and you will hear Jesus say, Judas, you betrayeth the Son of Man with a kiss. Got what I mean? Okay. Got what the scripture means. Psalm 145, verse 5. A good man may rebuke me in kindness. That's what happens in families. When you love a child anyway, and that child has just caught on that they have really hurt you. They have really hurt you, and you didn't strike out. The kindness hurts them a lot more than anything you could have ever said. Okay, the last one. Be spontaneous. Gosh, I don't even know how to be anything but that anymore. Because you say, well, I'm going to plan for this. There's much stuff going on out there, folks. I wouldn't know what to plan for, would you? In any aspect of life, period. Okay. Be spontaneous. Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. As we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. We have always been, throughout Scripture, you will see where you support your fellow man, your fellow believer. Jewish nation, Christian nation, you are a peculiar people. You protect one another. That's why so many people, I really believe, have walked away from church. Because they will find a closer knit group in some club out here, some bar out here, people who will seem to care more and never, never condemn their friend. You know, you said one thing bad to one, you've said it to all. Used to be that way, should have been that way in Christianity. A Christian is not allowed to condemn another Christian. Outside the Christian realm, you can't do that. How many people do you hear talk about their church or something going on in their church to a lost and dying world? I'm talking about the people that don't know Christ. Why would those people want to come to church after they hear all that stuff? Okay. There's always a price tag to kindness. Always, folks. Look at Jesus. It cost him his life. And to watch his closest friends turn and leave him. Example from the Bible, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Interestingly enough, in the culture of that day, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. All of them were evil, vile individuals according to the Jewish tradition. Samaria, cool. We'll walk on the other side of the road, sure. People like that come along. Okay. Okay, this will do good for us for the between now and Christmas. Do 7 acts of kindness anonymously. Just think about the next 2 weeks, or have them for Christmas. Do 7 acts. 7's the perfect number, so I better than 6 want it. 7's the perfect number of acts of anonymous kindness. So anonymous that you'll probably forget you did it, if you get what I mean. For those of you who don't have a church home, it's in the Vine Grove area, you come and see us. 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.